Famously, on Thomas in the Bible, King Nebuchadnezzar makes a statue to a false god. The three Israelites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all refuse to bow to it. So the king throws them in a fire, but they survive because it's a fairy tale. Then King Nebuchadnezzar goes crazy and starts eating the grass like a wild animal. So his son takes over rule, and then sees some writing on the wall during a feast. So they summon Daniel to interpret it. He does, and then God kills the new king. I'd like to say thank you to a new patron, who goes by the name of E. It really means a lot. And oh, congratulations to Thomas for getting hitched over the weekend, with a Thomas Yawn count of 1 and 14 episodes until the New Testament.
Thanks, Harley, for that intro that actually worked this time. yeah, it's good to hear your voice. And yeah, thanks, married guy here. Appreciate the congratulations. It was very good. I don't want to get too much into it because that's not the point of the show. Maybe I'll talk about it more on another show. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll never talk about it again. But thanks. And you can stop sending in all the proposals, everybody. I get a lot of them. But I think I'm just going to have to put an end to that. So, whatever. You can keep sending them, I guess. I mean, if you want to keep proposing, you can. But, you know, whatever. You've been warned. All right. We're on Daniel 6. We're reading through Daniel 9. And Harley was right. We've got 14 more to go until the New Testament. That's crazy. 14's not that many. We're kind of closing in. We're at 70% done with this book. Can you believe that? Can you believe we're both 70% done and we're only 70% done? I can't. Either way, it's surprising to me. I can't believe we've gotten that far. And I can't believe we've only gotten that far. But there you go. Okay, so Daniel 6 through 9, I did a little research. It's looking pretty straightforward, though, so I'm not seeing anything too complicated. So we'll just read through it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then the, there's like a piece of dust blowing, so I blew it away. There's some sort of particle. Anyway, these married guy problems, am I right? Particles of dust flying around. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, all the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed. So I think some people, for some reason, probably because they always hate Jews, because everyone always hates Jews. That's just, I mean, no offense. That's just how it goes throughout history. They want to get rid of Daniel. So Daniel's been like a prince. He's been appointed a prince. And these people are like, man, we got to find some way to get rid of this guy. But they're watching him, keeping a tight eye on him, and he's not doing anything wrong. They're like, what are we going to do? So now they're like, okay, let's make a law where only the king can ask God for anything. So no one else can ask God for anything. So I think they're trying to maybe trap Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Uh-oh, I wonder how this is going to work out. So let me guess, they kill Daniel at the end. That's my guess. That's my prediction. I'm usually right. So my guess, just to outline my prediction a little more, just to color it in a little more, they're going to find Daniel praying. They're going to be like, whoa, we wrote this law, And Daniel's going to be like, oh, crap. And then they execute him. And then that's the end. So that's my prediction. And I mean, I know a lot about this. I've read the Bible a lot. So I think it's reasonable that I would, you know, like make the right prediction. So I would, but if, I mean, I'm open to other guesses, but I, you know, I'm really not, because mine's going to be right. So then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes. Coincidentally, funny you guys should bring that up. I did just sign a law. That's, now that's a bizarre coincidence, I must say. Then he said, which is interesting, the king, where was I? Yeah, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute with the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thy servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So the king's concerned. The king's like, oh, crap, Daniel. Yeah, they tricked me into signing this law, and then they made me sign a law that said I can't change any of my laws or something. And so I'm sorry, you're going to have to die for this one. So actually, my prediction was partially right. Now, I'm predicting that Daniel just dies. But so far, I'm right, because they put him in a cave. I think they locked him in a cave with a giant rock. And we're like, okay, this is how you're going to die. So this is going to be like one of those James Bond villain scenarios where he like sets up an elaborate death that he could easily escape from, and then is surprised when he escapes. Like, just shoot the guy. But the king's like concerned. He's like, oh, he can't sleep. He doesn't have any music. You know, he's all sad about this. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Oh, it's a den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Well, hold on. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. Holy crap. And break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Wait a minute. Well, I'll just finish. There's only a couple of verses. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that he shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reigns of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So, it's kind of funny. So they trick him into writing this law, and they pass the law, and they accuse Daniel of breaking the law, and the king's like, yeah, I can't do anything about that, sorry. But then when he escapes the den of thieves, then he tosses the people in, or sorry, den of thieves, den of lions. Then he tosses the accuser into the den of lions. Like all those people he taught, and their families, and like their, so I don't really understand that. So you can't break your own law, But after someone survives the Den of Lions, then game on, like you just throw anyone in there that you want. I don't understand that part. How does that, you know, it seems like if he has the power to throw anyone in the Den of Lions just for reporting someone of violating a law that he did sign, then he could just throw them in the Den of Lions. It seems like if he can do that, then he could have just pardoned Daniel to begin with, right? It sounds like kind of, you know, everything's up for grabs. Either it is or it isn't, you know? 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and... Oh, my God. Are we getting another summary of stuff we've already summarized once? Let's see. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion. Oh, guys, more cool animals that are 100% proof of God, because, you know, who else would think of weird animals with different heads and stuff? I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads. Oh, multiple heads, you don't say. That's impossible to think of. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn, this is so dumb, were the eyes of the eyes like a man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels were as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and tens of thousands times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and all the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So we got a dream here. So Belshazzar. So is this a different dream in the first year of Belshazzar? No. Oh, sorry. This is a dream Daniel's having. So I was wrong. It's not like one he just. It's not going back over the ones he interpreted. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. Wait, I thought you were the interpreter of dreams. Now he's going to someone else? Well, let's cut out the middleman here. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take... This is science, by the way. This is real hardcore, you know, rigorous science is happening. Let me interpret your dreams. Well, there's four heads, so that's four kings, and then so dumb. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That was a weird sentence. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So we're on to Daniel 8. So it's a little weird that someone's interpreting Daniel's dreams, because I thought that's what he did. But, what are you going to do? It must have been fun back then to just make prophecies. It wasn't a really, risky business. I guess sometimes, there'd be some certain king that was like, you prophets all suck, and then you just kill them all. But for the most part, it's like, I had a dream that had an animal with four heads. Oh, I'll tell you what that is. That's four kings and then 10 kings and nations later, and they'll take over. Like, you just go off and it doesn't really matter what you say. No one really holds you to anything. If a prophecy is either right or hasn't happened yet. I think I've heard someone say that in a debate. It's either the prophecy is right or hasn't happened yet. There's no such thing as a wrong prophecy, as a false prophecy, I guess, in the Bible. It's just, someday it'll happen. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. Oh, guys, this is going to mean something. One horn is higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beasts might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and that goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore he got waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and it came up four notable ones toward... Oh, God. I can't even read this crap. It's so bad. It's just a bunch of, this is some story, a ram with four horns, blah, 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 two horns, the length of the horns. Like, then it'll just be that this all means something, Oh, the shorter horn was like one tribe and the longer horn was another. And then, the other goat that like came and killed it was another king. And it's just like, just tell me the prediction. It doesn't need to be delivered in a really like obscure animal interaction. Like the interpersonal dealings of the goats doesn't need to tell me what's happening. Anyway. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and the other saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall this sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said unto Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And now as he spoke, no, it's got to be spake, right? I lost my spot. Where the heck? Now as he was speaking with me, that's right, because I made that up. Weird. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram, guys, you ready for it? Here's the interpretation. Whoa, hold on, spoiler alert. This wasn't about rams. This wasn't a literal prophecy about what would happen in a community of rams. Wow, I'm blown away. Hold on. There's a deeper meaning here, guys. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the Media, I don't know. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn is that between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, he also shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days afterward. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Wow. All right, Daniel, last chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Oh, it's Ahasuerus, or do you think Asuerus? Ahasuerus. It's been a while since we've seen Ahasuerus, right? Or whatever. What do you call a dinosaur with an idea? Ahasuerus. And then Harley had a way better way of pronouncing it, if I remember correctly. Let's look it up. Book of Esther, Book of Ezra, Book of Daniel. So it's been in a few books. Oh, it's given the name of King of Persia, father of Darius the Mede in the Book of Daniel. So probably just a coincidence, not the same person. It's just the same name, which, I mean, it stands to reason that, you know, there'd be a bunch of people with the same name. I mean, that would be true if we wrote a book nowadays. There'd be like John. Oh yeah, John. Which John? That John? No, this John. The King John from Turin. Anyway, in the first year of Darius, son of a dinosaur who had an idea, Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made the king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, first Daniel, or no, I, Daniel, yeah, I think it's I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and we have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, us at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing us upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been seen upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Troublous. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, for not for himself and for the people. Oh, by the way, okay, so this I did read about. So 70 weeks doesn't mean weeks. I guess weeks mean, no, weeks mean 7 years, right? So, no, what was it? I looked this up. It was something like 4 years. Does a week mean 4 years? It was like 480 years or something. Let me pull it. Sorry. I had it up and I closed it. Reopen, close tab. Aha. There we go. 70 weeks. They are 7 year period. So 490 years. Why was I getting? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just tired. That was just bad math. Yeah. So seven. So he's saying a week. So it's a prophecy. It's known as the prophecy of 70 weeks, I guess, the 70 weeks of Daniel. And they refer to a prophecy of Daniel where he claims that the king of Persia will release the Jews to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. And it says, when he makes this decree, the Jews are to begin counting. And after 70 weeks, so that's 490 years. So start counting. That's a cool thing, too. Hey, guys, start counting. You're not going to believe this. We're all going to be free, and we're going to have our own kingdom and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, how long? What do we count to, 100? Sort of. We count to 70. Oh, 70 seconds. That's easy. No, not quite. Not quite seconds. 70, what, 70 days? All right, I guess I can wait 70 days. Whatever, you know. It's a little bit of a long time, but, you know, a couple months, 2.5 months or whatever it is, you know. I can handle it. 70 days. No, not quite. You know, you don't mean 70 years, do you? Oh, my gosh. 70 years? We're all going to be dead by then. What's the average life expectancy in this day and age? It's certainly not 70 years. No, I don't mean 70 years. Oh, okay. Thank God. Guys, he doesn't mean 70 years. We're fine. It must just be 70, I don't know, 70 weeks, 70 months or something. He doesn't mean years. It's okay. Yeah, 70 weeks. Oh, perfect. Oh, a week is 7 years. A week is now 7 years, you're saying. So 490 years. So why are we going to start counting? I can't count to 490 years. I can only count to, I don't know, somewhere between 30 and 80 years, if I'm lucky. That's as long as I can count. Why am I going to count? So I won't bother counting. What you're saying, when you said, hey, everyone start counting, what you meant was, hey, don't bother counting. Somebody 450 some odd years from now, they can start counting. Because then it'll kind of be within the next 50 years, 40 years. Is that what you're telling me? Anyway, so he's predicting the next 70 weeks, which, again, a week is 7 years for some reason. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. I read this before, but I was just rereading it with the context. And after 62 weeks, again, sounds a lot shorter than it is, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So that's the end of our boring reading for today. But yeah, if I heard a prophecy that was like 490 years from now, I'm like, oh, so I don't need to pay attention to this? So I can tune out now, right? Because I don't need to know what's going to happen 490. Go ahead and tell me, I guess. You know, if you want to tell me just for fun, so I can be like, oh, what do you know? Just for the information. But I don't need to really pay attention. It's not going to affect my life. You know, what's going to happen 490 years from now? It's not really a big deal to me. Anyway, now's the time where I got to thank my patrons. Let me see. I don't know if I had any new patrons. In fact, I had the opposite. Oh, no, I did have one. So, Richard. Thank you very much, Richard, for the patronage. I really appreciate it. I will say I don't know, some people must have dropped off because my number went way down, coincidentally. Sometimes people just happen to do it. I don't – let me know unless I said something offensive or something. Did I black out and go on a racist rant or something? Did I say some things I don't remember? No, I think it's coincidence. Some, you know, some people are like, oh, I can no longer afford this. No big deal. No ill will. I really appreciate anyone for the support they have given at any time. But yeah, so that was a little sad when you're trying to count to like a goal and, you know, it goes down. No big deal though. Maybe someone else will make up for it. So maybe someone out there is on the fence. You know, I'd encourage you to pledge because this podcast doesn't happen without my patrons. And Katie Quesno, I've split the difference, Katie, between your names, between your real name, which is Katie Quiznos, and the fake name, Katie Cannell. And Marcel, Sarah McPike, newer patron. Thank you so much, Sarah. Charles Bangwiener, John Bodley, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerfort, Lee Primesberger, John P., David Vandervlies, Travis Peterson, and Heriberto with the honorable mention. I love you guys so much. Thank you for the support. And you can support me at patreon.com/TandTheB. I'd really appreciate it. So there's my music. I guess this will be the same length as the last episode because that's where that is. All right. See you guys next week.